Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are, and it's the 15th. It's tax day.
Ding, ding, ding. And of course...
You get your taxes in?
Yeah, I got the taxes in. Actually, this year my accountant, I switched accountants, and he said it was going to probably have to do an extension. I said, really? I've never done an extension. It's never. So
really?
I said, do you sure?
I haven't done my taxes in at least, well, I don't say maybe 15, 20 years without doing an extension. I always do an extension.
It's so not necessary. I mean, unless you get things late.
It is once my mother-in-law died, it became necessary because she was used to do our books.
Oh. You don't use like QuickBooks or something like that?
No, well, we could, but we have a very complicated return.
Well, I mean, the massive amount of income you get from this podcast of one, for example.
This one, yeah. Well, this makes it easy.
Yeah, and let me also tell you a happy Pesach to you.
Same to you.
Yeah, thank you. We have also, what's coming? Good Friday coming?
I could have said Gesundheit.
This is the holiday, you know, they say this is the holiday we eat. The Jews don't eat leavened bread. And that includes a whole host of things. But basically, you eat this matzah, which basically pisses the Jews off in the week because you get so constipated from eating all this matzah. You know, it's just everybody's all angry all week. 8 days of this. We also have the Easter holidays.
8 days of matzah.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
8 days. Well, they got that with the lavash and those other things. You can eat that, right?
Kind of. It all depends. Well, it all depends if it has flour in it versus matzah meal.
Oh, you can't have flour either?
Yeah, it's kind of like nothing. Rice is questionable depending if you're Ashkenazi or Sephardic. And depending on where your origins are from, like the Latin American Jews are Sephardic, and they can eat rice, or they at least, you know, they do it. But some of the other ones don't.
What about eating corn?
No.
What? Why?
Yeah, there's something about corn. Corn no good. But I'll tell you something. What's interesting is...
So you can't have a taco.
No. But you can go to places and you can get pizza that's made with matzo meal. And they have all sorts of things
that would be in Florida, New York, and West LA. I don't know any place that does
exactly. And probably Toronto. But besides that, you can also have all sorts of things that are made with this unleavened stuff. And it becomes like unleavened cereal stuffs and all sorts of things that... are kind of like, you know, in the place of bread, but it takes away the whole point of it if you do that.
So, yeah, really, you should suffer.
Yeah, well, we're Jews, aren't we?
What's the, what is matzah meal? What's it made from?
Flour. I have no idea. It's unleavened flour.
You know, why can't she eat lavash?
And this is because Moses left in such a hurry from the tyrant. The Pharaoh, the tyrant, he left and went and he didn't have enough time to allow for the bread to rise. And because of that, we eat matzah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Matzah meal is made by finely grinding matzo crackers.
Well, what's matzah made from then?
So it's a two-step process.
You got to make matzah first.
You got to make matzah crackers first, and then you grind them into a breadcrumb-like consistency. This meal is commonly called for in recipes for baking around Passover.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
The most well-known use for matzo meal is in matzo balls.
Yeah, matzah. Yeah, I had those tonight.
But the versatile meal can also act as a binding agent in place of regular breadcrumbs in foods such as meatballs.
Mm-hmm.
And even as a thickener in some dishes.
Now, remember what I mentioned before about binding. Right? So there's some truth in that.
There you have it.
And, you know, the whole big thing on, just a quick note for those people who are Jewish, you'll find this humorous, of course. For those not, a little education. The whole trick in making matzo balls, these are these round kind of doughy things.
Yeah,
but
it's a dough ball. They call it what it is.
But it's dough. But... As opposed to like a gnocchi or a, not gnocchi, but a some kind of, what do they call those? In the soups, the little dough balls. These are light. And if you make
dumplings.
Them like, yeah, dumplings, you make these with.
Dumplings can be very light.
So light. Everybody, you know, if they float out of the soup, that's what you want. This is the big thing. But let's talk about the world of investing. And by the way, Good Friday's coming up, and we have Easter. So Good Friday, the markets are closed on Friday in observance of Good Friday.
Yeah, everybody seems to be taking the whole week off. I'm surprised we're doing this podcast.
Yeah, well, we're dedicated. Markets have been on a roller coaster. We had a big move lower on Tuesday. Today, we saw the CPI number came out pretty hot. Inflation numbers are picking up a little bit. And we also had this all these headlines with Russia and Ukraine, a poor manufacturing number in the manufacturing and saying, hey, wait a minute, maybe things aren't so good. And for a moment there, the NASDAQ was down about 1.75% again today. The S&P and the Dow were about 0.75%. The NASDAQ hit the 200-day moving average, and bam, just shot right back up. NASDAQ was up about 0.3%, but we're talking about a 2% turnaround today. The S&P was up about 0.7% today, about 1.5% turnaround. And then after hours, we saw some earnings come out. We saw Intel, Yahoo come out. Intel beat by a penny. Yahoo beat by a penny. No surprise there, the old beat by a penny. Their earnings on Intel, I wasn't that impressed with their guidance. Their margins were much better. Yahoo had a really good number from their Alibaba side of things, and their sales on a year-over-year basis were very impressive.
From Alibaba.
Yeah, from that part of it. Yahoo was up about 6%, 7% after hours. Intel was up about 2%. I wasn't so impressed with Intel. We'll see how that plays out. But markets continue to move higher. And then we saw China GDP, if we can believe it, meet and do a little bit better than expected. And, of course, the big thing that everybody thinks moved markets today was that Japan is downgrading, again, one of those upside-down discussions, Japan is downgrading their economic condition. Because they imposed a consumption tax recently, pretty substantial. We knew about this last week, though. The estimated GDP for next quarter is going to be minus 3% on a quarter-over-quarter basis. Huh. And they're downgrading. So what does that mean? Stimulus.
Ah, right. Yeah. This sounds like this is a fractal of what we did.
Yep.
Same thing.
Exactly. Huh. So now all of a sudden, are we going to see a market that was hovering and just getting ever so close to a total breakdown to all of a sudden, you know, doing well? We also saw Twitter make an incredible reversal off the lows. It was trading about $40. And there was an announcement that they hired Daniel Graff, who was the VP of Consumer Products from Google. And the stock moved 7, 8, 9, 10%. Actually, it closed about 11% up. And then after hours, it tacked on a few more points. It was up to about 14% up after hours.
Huh.
Now, this is on the news. This is another interesting thing that is on the news the day before. That Priceline came out with some really interesting discussion. They said that they are just spending, you know, crazy amounts of money on advertising on Google. They're spending on Facebook. They're spending on Twitter, all sorts of things. But what's interesting is the quote from the chief executive officer. He said, "For Facebook and Twitter, we have endless amounts of money, but we haven't found anything there." In other words, there's no results. How interesting is that?
Well, how would that encourage anyone to buy the stock?
Well, the stock, both Facebook and Twitter were trading down pretty well today. Twitter was actually holding its own. Maybe somebody knew it was going on because everything else was kind of dumping in the early part of the day. Facebook was down a few percent. And all the names were down pretty hard. But Twitter was holding pretty well. Maybe at the worst case, maybe it was down 1%, maybe. And probably some of the news on this was part of it. But again, I guess this big issue about them hiring this VP of Consumer Products from Google. Do you know this guy, Daniel Graff? You know who he is?
I haven't got a clue. There's like a lot of nameless people over at Google, and they have these great titles, and God knows if they even know what they're doing.
Mm.
I wouldn't. If it's just some random guy from Google that wasn't, you know, even if he's famous, I would be very skeptical that he's going to do anything for, because Google's really a serious team kind of a thing with some guidance from above. And I'm not sure that there's any superstars within the organization like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the social media stocks and the NASDAQ and the biotechs have been really pouring out pretty well recently. And this is a big reversal today. As a matter of fact, the NASDAQ futures are trading up about 15. They were down about 50 points, which is about, going on, what is that? 1.75% or so, and now they're up 15 from there. I mean, that's a pretty impressive turnaround. I did not see why the turnaround happened after hours on the news from Intel, which was, I think, lukewarm at best. Maybe Yahoo. There's a lot of shorts in Yahoo. It was hitting some support. It was definitely about to break down if they didn't do well this quarter. And I guess, you know, they like the fact that at least they beat by a penny.
Mm.
So let's talk about Google, back to Google
Not
for a second.
Not too thrilling.
Nah, it wasn't too thrilling. Google is adding drones to its fleet of robots and driverless cars. It acquired a company called Titan Aerospace.
Yeah.
And they make these solar-powered satellites that provide... Now, is this real satellites?
I have no idea.
I mean, I'm talking about, you know, in the upper atmosphere.
Yeah, satellites.
How do you have solar powered satellites up there?
You don't.
Okay.
You have a satellite up there that when it's up there, it's powered by solar instead of batteries.
How much sun do they get up there?
Lots.
Well, I mean, I guess it's closer to the sun, but
no, they got these big wings that crop out.
Right, right.
And it sucks up, you know, they have to move them all the time because the sun's always aiming differently. And they sometimes are on the other side where it's dark. And they got some batteries that save the energy. Yeah, most of the satellites are like that, the big ones.
So they're going to have these satellites that they're going to launch, I assume, by rockets of sorts. And maybe this is going to be the next phase of the Google Fiber. You know, the high speed. Possibly?
The latency stinks. No, that is not going to happen.
That's not it.
Can't be. No.
Okay.
I think Google Fiber is the right thing for what they're doing there, but to do some satellite, this has been tried for, I don't know, 20 years at least. I can't remember how long, but it's been going on forever, and nobody likes it because the latency is terrible.
Can you do, in the old days with satellites, you couldn't do two-way. Remember that whole thing?
You could always do two-way.
No, you couldn't. In the beginning of satellites, it was always one way down, and you had to use some other kind of thing for the up. In the early days of satellite, like, what was it? Who had the early...
Sputnik, you're talking about? Vanguard 1?
No, I'm talking about for internet. You know, if you had an internet provider, I don't remember, I forgot what it was. It wasn't DirecTV.
Oh, yeah, that's true. The early ones, you had a link to some sort... In other words, yeah, you didn't have the power to talk to the thing directly. No, in fact, I don't know that you still... That they even have that yet. You had a wired connection to some sort of port that went along the earth to the center of where the uplink was. It was a big dish. And then that would send the command to the satellite, and then the satellite would beam it down directly to you.
Mm. All right, well, let's talk about some things interesting. Retail sales, we had a gigantic, enormous... Wow, number. We had a jump of 1.1%, which is the biggest gain since September of 2012. That's pretty impressive.
Well, that's impressive, but it didn't do anything to the stocks that I have a couple on the list.
On retail? Well, on retail, I mean, it was better than expected, and there was a 0.7% advance in February, which was interesting in that the idea that we would see a tremendous amount of built-up and pent-up demand after the whole polar vortex... I don't know if that's playing out.
Why would we have a pent-up demand after the vortex?
Because all these people couldn't get out, and supposedly there was all this need for a variety of different goods that would be bought. I guess they didn't want to use their internet to buy these things. And the whole thesis, either maybe this was the bullish or the bullshit side, depending on how you want to look at it, is that there was going to be all these people that couldn't get out of their house, and once the weather cleared, they're going to go out and go crazy.
Huh. Yeah, I would assume that if you needed stuff during the vortex, you would have gotten out of the house. I don't think people just stayed holed up. I suppose some did. And then you'd be, kind of digging out. I don't know why you had pent up demand for what.
Well, this is the whole discussion. Don't forget, you always have this idea that things are going to get better. A stock doesn't do well in the earnings. Well, it's just a quarter. Doesn't do well in the earnings the next quarter. Well, they've reached the bottom. And then they don't do well the third quarter. It's like,
The weather.
How much worse can it get?
Right.
It goes on and on and on. The excuse factory.
Yeah, how much?
Right?
Can't get any worse. Yeah.
How much worse can it get? And then By the fourth time, they're like, you know what? There's probably going to be a management change. You know, they start constantly bring up all the potential ideas. And then eventually, you know, what happens is that analysts take down their numbers so sharply that they beat their earnings number. Eh, we knew it. Things got better. Wait a minute. In the first hand, they were making a dollar. Then they made 90 cents. Then they made 80. Then they made 75. We're excited about 75. Why? Because the analyst expected 70. So, you know, you have to look at, I think, there's a sentiment issue. Depending on where sentiment is, depends on how this plays. So if sentiment's really like, okay, you know, we're willing to buy things and give it a chance for whatever reason, whether there's, you know, some kind of stimulus program going on, okay, they'll do that. They'll go along with that for a while. When sentiment changes, that's when things get a little rocky. But we haven't really seen that. Yeah, we did see that in, you know, I mean, the moves down on Facebook and even Google, Intel, you know, Yahoo, they're pretty severe. Not as severe as some of the biotechs, but still severe. And then you have other companies like FireEye that just got obliterated. You know, the list goes on. You have 40 and 50% drops in some of these stocks.
Huh. FireEye.
So, yeah, FEYE. That's the stock actually we picked up today on the low. Picked it up at about 7% or 8% down today, and it finished up about 2%.
What's the symbol again?
FEYE. FEYE, FireEye.
FEYE.
I think it was as high as about 100 or so. Came down to in the 40s.
Why is that name ring a bell? What do they do?
FireEye's technology. Can I get this straight? If I can say it straight at least.
32 week range is 33.3, which is a very interesting number to the No Agenda listeners, to 97.35. Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's up another 1.5% after hours. And, I mean, this is a technology company, basically, that does malware protection, software-based applications, all that stuff.
That's why one of the headlines here, or one of the news items that's related, is this story that I didn't know about. If you, I don't know if it's on the list. Exclusive turmoil at Symantec luring activists and buyers.
Yeah.
Dash sources.
Mm-hmm.
The abrupt firing of Symantec CEO Steve Bennett.
Is that today?
No, it was last month.
Oh, okay.
Is attracting activist investors and private equity firms. Seeing, it's like a bunch of this. Like a, this, we're watching something similar to a bunch of, you know, hyenas and coyotes and circling the wounded prey, waiting for it to die.
You would think with this whole the Heartbleed, you know, this company should have at least held up and done well. But man, it's just
Think with Heartbleed, this company should have skyrocketed.
Right, exactly. But I guess maybe on the other hand, you could say, well, with Heartbleed, how come they didn't pick it up all this time? Right.
Yeah, no, that's the first thing you'd come to.
On one hand, we need a company that could do something like this. On the other hand, hey, wait a minute, hold on, why didn't this company figure this out beforehand, you know? I mean, maybe that's why they get banged a little bit. And rounding off our technology discussion, you know the highest paid CEO in the U.S. was last year?
Yeah, I did know it one time. Who?
Larry Ellison.
Yeah, right. Larry pays himself a lot.
$78 million, including salary
and
perks.
Yeah, but that's mostly, it's not so much. That's not the highest paid salary, though.
No? No, he's the highest paid CEO overall.
Yeah, he just gets a lot of options and things come into play, and he cashes out, and he takes capital gains. But there's somebody else that I can't think of who it is that's the highest salaried CEO.
When I think let's see. We have Disney's Iger goes second with $34 million, Fox Murdoch with $26 million. But again, that was total value of all the salary perks and stock options for all of them.
I wonder what they do with all that extra money.
Oh, they give it to charity.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No? Well, Larry, we know what Larry does. Well, at least a part of it. You know, he builds very fast, crazy boats.
Well, he also has a giant yacht.
Yeah.
That must cost $10 million to maintain.
You think that's part of the perks?
I don't know. Maybe not.
But he does well, Larry.
Larry knows how to, he knows how to live the life.
Now, you know, it's interesting because there is, you know, who's the competition? I mean, there's a variety of places of competition. They bought, what, MySQL some time ago, the free, open. I mean, they're running all, I mean, the big thing is they're running, obviously, the databases that make the web work, or at least that make the web experience work for stores and things of that nature and companies also internally for...
Government, big government stuff.
Yeah, big government. And so they're the ones that are responsible for tracking all of the economic data?
Which reminds me, well, you always wonder why Oracle just wasn't given the assignment to do the healthcare system.
Maybe they don't like his attitude. He has a bit of an attitude.
No, I don't really think he does. He's just kind of a smart ass. I don't think he's really a guy with an attitude. I think he's just a kind of a character who's got opinions.
Does he still have it in for Bill Gates?
Oh, yeah.
Still?
Pretty much.
I mean, they used to have a lot of... Remember the day when they had the competitions on how fast their various databases would run, and they would run it against Access and all? What happened to Access? Is it used anymore?
I don't know. I gave up on the whole thing. I can't follow it.
Yeah.
The whole database thing just kind of consolidated into a couple of players and a couple of open source operations, and that's about it.
I'm still wondering how they monetized the MySQL.
Microsoft?
No. Ellison
bought. Oh, Ellison. I don't think they ever have. They just they're hold on to it for some reason.
And
I'm
the same
sure.
thing with Java. They own Java.
Yeah, I know.
That's a freebie, right?
Pain.
Yeah. Heavy system. Heavy program, isn't it?
I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, in apartment news and rental real estate news, and also in real estate news in the U.S., the National Association of Home Builders, their sentiment came out. That's one of the things that also dropped markets today. It came out at 47 from a 50.
Oh.
Now, remember I talked about last week how I had some good sources that were telling me that there's some concern about the spring selling season.
Right.
Well, that's playing through with a 47. The expectation was for a 50. Hmm. Not a big number down. It wasn't like a 30 or anything like that. Expectations were for 50. Last month was for 40. Came in at 47. But it looks like that, generally speaking, the home builders are a little bit concerned about things, considering the fact that you look at like J.P. Morgan laying off a ton of people in their mortgage business. I mean, just a big swath of people are being laid off in that department. You're also seeing that maybe it's possible that some of the saturation with multifamily, you know, apartment buildings is getting a little bit much in certain areas, but we are seeing that there is some kind of a bit of a concern in there, but not in London. This is pretty amazing. So in London, they have all these apartments, and some of them in certain areas are significantly priced. And what happens in London is what they have done in the past is if they wanted to expand, they would expand up. You know, they break through the ceiling and put a staircase in there and, you know, have another house up. So if it was,
right, up you go.
Now they're going out. They're going wide.
Hmm.
So now here's what's interesting. That living in central London, the most desirable areas, the cost to live in central London in one of these apartments, $2,500 a square foot.
What?
Yep.
I was, holy crap.
Yeah. And it's not even any water
apartment. That's to live there. That's like a place. And is that in the Ritzy, like Mayfair and some of these good places?
Yeah. Let's see. I just have the central London in the most desirable area.
Okay.
Areas.
It's a couple places.
And in Manhattan and co-ops in Manhattan, they're compared at about $1,300, $1,350 per month.
Square foot.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry. Square foot. I mean, $2,500 a square. How do you live? How do you buy something like that?
You don't. That's why we're sitting here. You're in Florida.
Yeah,
I'm in California.
Yeah, it's about a tenth of the price.
Yeah, and better living.
Yeah, of course, better food. You like the English food, English beers?
I do.
You do.
I like Adnams. I like the IPAs. I like a lot of the stuff there.
Mm. Mm-hmm. You like the dark beer,
especially the real ales.
So you like ale? You don't like the stouts, do you?
Nah, a little too heavy.
A little too heavy. Yeah. especially when they're warm.
They're not warm. They're kind of a funny temperature, but they're not. Anyway.
Warmer than a cold beer.
Yeah, it's not beer. It's a beverage.
Yeah. As compared to, like...
And that's the temperature it's served at.
Have you ever had... I was, you know, one of my kids went to...
It's not warm. It's lower than the temperature of the room. Anyway, well, go on.
One Sorry. Of my kids went to FSU, and the big beer up there is...
Florida State Party
yeah.
School?
Yeah. Uh-huh. It was Natural Light.
Natural Light.
They called it Natty Light. I called it Nasty Light. And if you ever drank this stuff, it's like...
Never heard of it.
It's horrid. And they would play this game, the beer pong game, you know?
Yeah.
And they would want me to play. And I'm like, first of all, I'm not drinking that horrible beer. Second of all, that ping pong ball, I don't know where it's been. And you're supposed to land it in the cup and then drink the beer.
I don't know about that.
That's the game.
Yeah, I know. I wouldn't play it either.
So what I do is I have my own cup of beer.
Like a way to get hepatitis.
Right. We get a pledge to drink the cups. And I just drink my own cup of beer. You ever play beer pong?
No. That's actually a more modern game than when I was a kid.
Right, we just drank. We didn't need we didn't need an excuse. We didn't need to put a bowl
in
the cup.
Some bogus excuse to have a beer.
Yeah, exactly. In Japan, we seem to have some bird flu making its way around. 270 birds died, and that's in the Kumamoto Prefecture in southern Japan. And it seems that it's spreading. I don't recall seeing too many stories about bird flu in Japan. Have you?
I've never seen one before. This is news to me.
Yeah, it's always in China and maybe some.
But they're just dead birds. It's not dead people.
No, exactly. But it's the bird flu in the birds. Poor things. Sniffing and coughing. They don't really have noses. How's that? They the beak run.
Those little beak holes.
Yeah, maybe they run. The beaks don't run. So anyway, that's a bit of spreading. We'll see what happens. Interesting, maybe to consider some of the stocks that specialize in this area. Now, one of the things that we saw last week was, I think it was Novartis. They make, I think it's Novartis and another company, they make the Tamiflu. You heard of Tamiflu?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have.
It was a report.
I know, now it's been debunked. It doesn't work.
Yeah, debunked. It doesn't work.
I'm not buying it.
You're not buying it? It doesn't work?
I think it works.
Then why are they saying it doesn't?
I don't know who they are and where this information comes from. There's been plenty of studies that show it works. It's been used for people that have to be around the real bird flu.
Well,
that's prophylactic. Maybe it was all bogus. I don't know.
Maybe, but
Other one, Relenza,
yeah,
is also interesting because how would they come up with studies, for example, in the past that showed that Tamiflu was subject to failure as a prophylactic against bird flu, the H5N1 or whatever that one is, the bad one,
mm-hmm.
and Relenza could hold its own against this bird flu. What is that? If they're both bogus, I don't see how one could be better than the other under any circumstance. There's something fishy about this.
Yeah, maybe there is, but I was just thinking that maybe on this news, possibly, some of the alternatives that we've invested in before that have flu, whether they're in... Flu drugs that are in process or in testing, trials, or maybe some that actually are out there could do well. Just a thought.
Yeah.
Just a thought.
Possible.
And, you know, let's kind of move on from bird flu. And some of that we'll talk about, maybe some of those in our stock picks. But did you see that tweet? You didn't see the tweet? Yes, you did.
No, I just heard about it. I kept wanting to look it up. I'm going to check it out. Tell me about it.
Well, last night there seemed to be a tweet from somewhere. At the time, I didn't know. I got some messages. Oh, they found the plane. And there was a picture that came with it. Now, let me see if I can give you the descriptive of this picture. It was a woman laying down naked. Totally naked. Legs wide open.
Supposedly, this was a stewardess.
And a plane in a not-so-plane-like place.
Oh,
okay.
That's pretty, yeah. Pretty gruesome. Yeah.
And do you know? And
this is a woman with a sick sense of humor.
No, this was by U.S. Airways.
What?
Yep. Not kidding.
No.
I checked this. Go look. This was a U.S. Airways tweet on the U.S. Airways tweet.
Oh, yeah. Now I heard that somebody got a hold of the account and they tweeted this.
Yeah, U.S. Airways.
It wasn't official.
Well, it definitely wasn't official. It wasn't meant to be the truth, obviously.
Yeah.
But you
get trouble using somebody else's account.
Yeah, somebody did that. So it was pretty. Again, I didn't know it was you know, at first I didn't know it was a tweet. I thought a friend just sent it to me. And it was funny, haha. And then I found out today, there's some headlines on this, that really U.S. Airways, that's terrible. Funny, but terrible. So
it's a public relations nightmare.
Yeah, but then they, on the other hand, they say that any news headlines about you, what do they say? Any publicity is good publicity? Maybe not this one?
Yeah, I've always thought that was I think it's bogus. I think most publicity is good publicity. That's what it should say.
Most. Yeah, that's a good point. Now, the cost of beef is moving higher. We've talked about, you and I, the cost of the foods and commodities this year, right?
Yep.
And I gave you a chart there I wanted you to see. I put this with us. And I thought this was really interesting. So if you just look at the symbol DBA, which is the PowerShares Agricultural Fund, the ETF that tracks the a basket of, I don't even think this includes meat now that I think about it. But this is for, I think it's corn, soybeans, wheat, and I know sugar, maybe sugar, up 16% this year. Tremendous move.
Sounds like inflation to me.
Yeah. And if you add the fact that also beef prices are at a high, very close to a high, okay, and you know, in the form of cattle, and we're seeing that pork is moving up dramatically, I've been thinking, okay, well, what is that? Who's that good for? Who's that bad for? So I started thinking about what company has a direct use of this. So we talked about Ruth's Chris a couple of weeks back, right? How the cost of steak,
yep,
maybe eating their margins. And now I'm thinking also this. I remember this from a couple of years back when a similar situation happened, primarily with corn, and the price of anything that was eating corn, et cetera, not on Passover, of course. But that was eating corn as feed, and then we had all the other prices moving up also. You know, what was that bad for? And I was thinking Chipotle. Because if you think
always thinking Chipotle.
I don't always think Chipotle.
Yeah.
What do you mean, yeah?
When it comes to food and corn and meat and all the rest, you're always thinking Chipotle.
Well, I'm thinking about it again.
In fact, I'm stunned that you never brought up Chipotle when the avocado thing. Maybe you did talk about it.
Nope, didn't.
The avocado shortage.
Nope. I should have.
Oops. Yeah, you should have.
Well, I'm going to bring it up again.
All right.
So I'm thinking that Chipotle's earnings are after the close on Thursday.
Let's take a look.
Now, the stock has been holding a little bit of a support level here, right where it is now. Bit of a gap that could potentially be filled on the downside.
What is the symbol?
CMG.
CMG?
Yeah, CMG.
Mm. Oh, I see. Chipotle Mexican Grill. It's at $540.
Yeah.
So they're one of those guys.
Yeah.
All right.
And I'm thinking that if you look at the stock, it's been as high as, what, 550?
622, as a matter of fact.
No, 622, right. You're right about that. That didn't work.
As low as 328.
So the last
stock, even in the 52 weeks, it didn't double.
Right.
Everything else has doubled.
Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking that is it possible that we're going to see a possible move lower for this if in fact they're going to have a problem with margins. Now, if you look at the stock, we're seeing a bit of a head and shoulder pattern. You see that from the beginning of March. You got that left shoulder that developed, and you got the head, and you got the right shoulder developed. See that?
From March?
Yeah, beginning of March. It went from 550 up to 6, and it came in a bit to about 525, back to 625.
I need to look at a shorter thing here to see that. I don't see a head and shoulders.
No, let's look at a three-month here. Let's see what it looks like on a three-month. Yeah, what do you mean you don't see a head and shoulders? It's right there.
I don't. I don't see one.
I'll tell you the exact date. You're right. It started, the left shoulder is about February 15th. Get a little shoulder there. Came up and rounded down, then you got a bump up for the head.
Yeah.
And it's facing, you know, it's plain as day.
It's no. I don't think so.
All right, let's call it a.
It's a jaggedy thing. It's terrible looking.
Are you looking at a daily chart?
I'm looking at the 3 month right now.
Okay. Let's pretend for a minute that was a. Let's look at it this way.
And look at the where it is. I mean, it went up as high as, you know, that's when it hit its peak. And then it's come so far down.
Would you agree this?
No, I see what you're maybe said. You know, it's like a head. Yeah, head and shoulders if it's one of the pointy-headed guys.
Yeah, well, it's a cone
head. Cone head. Cone head, okay. Head and shoulders.
Nobody
you got it.
Cone head and shoulders. There you go.
So, okay, that may be a new phenomenon.
In theory, what you would do is you would take the price of about $610 down to about $560, which is maybe about $570, which is the neckline. You see the neckline there? So what was that? That's 620, about 50, 40 points.
Yeah.
And then you'd go from about that down to about $525. Now, that's only... That would be the target, the initial target. Now,
525?
Yeah, not terribly much, but still.
I'm looking at the 400 when it was down there in the end of January.
But if you look a little bit further.
It go up. But this stock markets, is overpriced.
Markets. Now, there's a bunch of these players that are real negative on this. Like a David Einhorn saying, hey, lots of competition with, this is David Einhorn, I'm not saying this, but with Taco Bell. I don't really.
Oh yeah, Taco Bell's come out with a new breakfast. They got some good advertising. I have to admit, Taco Bell has been a good advertiser. They're very funny. They have a good sense of humor, and they got. But have you seen this product that they have for breakfast?
Is it good?
Have you seen picture? Have you seen the commercial showing it? Is it good? What do you think?
Probably not. I can't even imagine.
But it's like a waffle that has been formed into the shape of a taco. Filled with eggs and bacon, I guess, or whatever you'd put in the breakfast thing, because there seems to be everything. Everybody wants to do the same thing. They want to have some sort of egg, like the Egg McMuffin. You know, it's like a muffin with a piece of egg and a round piece of bacon, which is not bacon. It's Canadian bacon. And this is the same thing in a taco shell that looks like a waffle.
Sounds gross.
So you got a waffle instead of the muffin, and then you have the same crap inside. But it looks like scrambled eggs and maybe pieces of bacon. I don't know. It's hard to say. I only saw it once.
Now, that's not really competition to Chipotle, because Chipotle doesn't have breakfast.
Well, there you go.
So, but who knows if all of a sudden they see the menu and, I'm going to come back for lunch. Or maybe then again they say, you know what, I'm here for breakfast. I'm not coming for lunch.
I don't think anybody's going to eat the Taco Bell breakfast and say to themselves, oh, I'm coming back here for lunch.
Right. I agree.
For one thing, I think you go to these places for breakfast in the first place as an emergency. You're starving. You got to eat something. And they, you know, you want to check these things out. So everyone's going to try this dish, I'm sure. And you do the same thing for lunch. You really have, or maybe have like this, just a desire to have a greasy taco in the crunchy corn thing, and or maybe a burrito or the multiple thing. There's got one thing mixed with another. No. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody makes a conscious decision. Unless you're in some little town, the only place there is Taco Bell.
Now I'll tell you on the technical side that the slow stochastics are starting to come off of the bottom here and come up a little bit, but we've seen that before a couple of times recently. And the stock is now below its 50-day average, which
Chipotle?
Yeah. It's below its 50-day average, which is about 570, 565. And the 200-day moving average is about 485. So I would say that if you look at about 485, you know, first of all, if this stock does in fact drop below about 485,
okay, that was at like 275, no, 225 back in end of 2012.
And that's when the prices of food went out of control.
And their stock's been going up.
Yeah, let's take, well.
And this little setback here that you're talking about, it looks like this thing should be headed to the moon.
Let's take a look at a comparison between this here.
Slow stochastics is what you're looking at. Let's see what we got.
I'm kind of looking. I want to see if I can pull this up.
It looks like an oscillator to me.
Yeah, it is. It's an oscillator. Take off moving averages here. Okay. So let's take a look when the price is on. Am I have the right year? Yeah. Price on food. Yeah. If you look at the price of food, there's somewhat of a correlation, DBA that is.
Okay.
Somewhat of a correlation.
No, I'm in a buyer's. I don't even need to be sold on this. I think you're dead on what's going on.
So.
But the question in my mind is, what do you, what, action you think should be taken here? You think it's a sell?
Yeah. I think it's a good hey, listen, they could do all sorts of things. I think the margins are going to be compressed. Now, if in fact the margins are compressed and they have a lot higher cost of foods, and if we're coming into this earnings and let's say that already earnings estimates have dropped and they do something like, you know, say, hey, we know that there is a problem with margins and we know that there is a you know, cost factor here and there's a problem and we're considering raising menu prices, well, that's a good thing. On the other hand, if in fact they, you know, don't do that because they've been reluctant to, and they only actually, one of the big things that really pushed the stock up was about a year ago, I think it was, they raised their prices and that really pushed things up. And at the same time, food costs came down. But now food costs are coming up on a pretty good line. And you look at this last time this happened back in the middle of 2012, food costs came up the same way they're coming up now, okay, after dropping for some time, and the stock stumbled for 6 months.
Yeah, it had that little bump, and that's about it.
So if we are in the same kind of scenario of that, it almost looks exactly the same now in terms of the move of food costs. Now, whether or not the food costs will be sustainable, or they'll drop off from here, whether or not they're going to increase their menu prices or not, or even downgrade. If, in fact, everything stays the same, they don't increase their menu prices, you'd have to say that their earnings are going to be whatever they are, but their outlook is going to be reduced.
I think you might be right. I'm looking at, the more I look at this chart, and there's nothing to, now what would happen, it seems to me, is, again, going into some of the stuff is just hocus pocus, but the way the Bollinger Bands are going, it should drop, I don't know, 80 points to 100, maybe 100, maybe more, and then the Bollinger Band will catch up to it, and it'll pinch, and you get a bump. Now, that happened in, looks like August 12 or maybe something like that, the Bollinger Bands had this kind of same split, and then it hit, they came together and created an up.
Yeah, the Bollinger Bands, it's a squeeze area when that happens.
Yeah, so the thing went up as it would. It could have gone down, but it went up, and it formed a lump in the middle of September or maybe in October, and then it collapsed and went down further.
Mm-hmm.
To this mess. It looks like a real bad low around 250. Looks like around 250. That could happen.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be a good bet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm just erring on the side of the fact that, you know, food costs are the major component here. That's all.
Yeah. Well, you and Chipotle, you or Chipotle or whatever they call it.
Chipotle.
It should be Chipotle.
Yeah. Chipotle.
And, yeah, okay.
Don't get me wrong. It's very well received. It's, you know, got good loyalty.
It's got nice, tasteless food.
Yes.
Perfect for middle America. Nobody in their right mind who likes Mexican food would ever eat there, but that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's a training wheels for people who want to really have good food.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody's got to do it.
Yep. Well, let's get to the stocks. I know we have a little bit of abbreviated meatloaf show going on here.
Yeah, got to get back to eat.
Mm-hmm.
We started late today because of the holiday.
The Pesach. Pesach holiday. Let's take a look at things, and of course, you'll be able to find these and every one of our picks on the DH Unplugged website directly there. It's a live updating Google spreadsheet with all the information that you love and would like to see according to, look at that. That's interesting, that one. That's interesting. Hop Hog, I got to look at. Hop Hog may have come off after that big move down today.
Yeah, maybe.
But this is not a recommendation to buy any security, of course. We'll note that if we have anything here that is, in fact, owned by myself, John C. Dvorak, or clients, et cetera, et cetera. So yes. I'll give you one guess what I'm going to put on there today.
Chipotle.
Yep, exactly.
Well, I got one. Again, based on my old thesis, Navstar.
NAV.
Yeah, going
is the
back.
Symbol.
Okay, back to the well.
Navistar, they're the trucking company.
Yeah, International Harvest. I used to work for them.
What do you like about them?
I was a kid.
Oh, wow, that was a while ago. They had trucks back then.
Yeah, International Harvest, the big rigs.
Mm-hmm. And
it's one of those summer jobs.
And there's an insider pick kind of thing.
Yeah, there's a bunch of insiders buying tens of millions of dollars worth of it again.
Now, they have a big footprint in China. One of the big things is that, you know, if China does well, they'll do well.
Yeah, well, yeah, but then if China does poorly, will they do as poorly as China? I don't know.
Well, if you see that, we had a better than expected GDP number, however, you know, crafted that is. I would think that we're going to see, you know, the potential for a good move there. But let's take a look at some of the stocks that we have currently on there. And actually, we've seen some nice moves on the downside. Twitter was stopped out today after that big move. It went down to the 40s and then moved back up. We had a profit on Twitter of 19.79%. Ring the bell, my friend. Yep. Finisar up 6.5%. Dicom Industries, one of the early 2014 picks on the insider trading, is up 12.5%. Anheuser-Busch, actually the maker of natural light beer, is up 6%. Fuji Films up 8.5%. I'll have to look at Hop Hog Digital. It was staying last 17.
Yeah, it's probably done.
Yep. Caterpillar is just killing me here. Just surprisingly up.
Yeah, and you had that as a short. Well, you're the only one shorting anything at the moment. Your shorts are all up except that one.
Yep.
You pick some good shorts there. I don't have the guts to pick shorts in a market that I still see is going up.
Well, I mean, we did see, I think the big clue on some of this was, well, first of all, some of the the technology companies that were rolling over. There's no question about that. If I had the ability to pick some of these biotechs, that would have been just a killer. Absolute killer. Because they rolled over 30 or 40%.
Yeah, that'd have been a good one.
You know, look at IBB, which is a symbol for the NASDAQ Biotech Index. Man, that got killed. It was actually down again today for a while, then popped up, I think, 1.5% or so.
I'm going to start looking around. There may be some.
Oh, this definitely shorts out there, my friend. And this is also earnings season right now. Google's tomorrow, by the way.
It did do okay.
Well, we'll see. Yeah, they're going to get a bit up probably into it due to the Yahoo numbers. Opco Health still kind of holding in 5%. El Paso 2%. DaVita Healthcare is flat. Cigna up 21%. And good old Fannie Mae was stopped out today for a 25% gain.
Yeah, that was a quickie. That was a quick lot of money.
Yep, two 25%ers, top to bottom.
Yeah.
Roots up 4.5%. Agco up 3%. SoFund Holdings. Now, SoFund Holdings was down actually 6.5% at one point today. Now, this, if you remember, when we got this, I think that it was, $65 or $70 per share. There's a 5-for-1 split. Now, usually when you see a split, 2-for-1, okay, 3-for-1, fine. 4 and 5-to-1 splits are never good for stock. Just history, you can look at it, especially when you get even larger than that. But we'll see what happens with this. Right now, it looks like there is some buyers that are coming in. Don't forget, when the stock gets cheap, and the prices get low, even after a split, people think, hey, what a bargain. So we'll see what happens there.
I think the rationale, I'm just thinking about this because I never thought about the 5-to-1 being negative, while 2-to-1 is a positive. It's possible that what happens, I mean, the psychology, because nobody even knows their stock split half the time, right?
Right.
And so they say, so the stock was, let's say, $10, and now it's at $5, and the split was a big deal. And that's a 2-to-1 split. But say it's a 10-to-1 split, you look back in your stock and say, oh my God, it's down to 1. I've got to get out of it.
But you got to get out of it, right. But generally speaking,
you're freaked.
Right. But also, most people, for whatever reason, I think don't understand the whole aspect of splits, and they think it just becomes cheaper. You buy more shares.
Yeah. But when it gets that cheap, it makes you think the thing is tanking.
Yeah. Exactly.
I don't know. Exactly. I mean, who knows what the psychology is. I do know that when a split is announced, the stock goes up, and right. Then it keeps going up.
Actually, I have this one has stopped out now that I look at it. I guess it got down low enough. Let me just check this here. Let me look. Yep, this one stopped out. 15.5% gain. We'll take it.
That's all right.
Good. And so we're going long. Netflix still is floundering. It's interesting. I'd like to look at Tesla at 182, but... it's not there yet.
You want to short it?
No, I'd go long at 182.
Oh, okay.
Well, I mean, it came down pretty good. I'm not sure where it finished up today, but it came down pretty good today for a while and then popped up a little bit, but I think it was 187 at one point.
I may be traveling next Tuesday. I'm not absolutely sure. But after that, we're probably going to begin to start implementing, hopefully, our firewall.
Yeah, let me mention
this. Paywall.
I think this is important to mention. This is not going to be a very costly item.
No.
I got an email from somebody that said we're being greedy.
How's that greedy?
Yeah.
He doesn't even know what we're charging.
Right. Says, not listening anymore, greedy. I'm going to think, first of all,
he's a douche.
How many, yeah, that's what I said. How many years, he's probably still listening because it's free. How many years did we do this at no charge?
Well, figure it out. We do it once a week and we're on show 200 something. 4 years, almost 4 years.
4 years, and not a charge, not even a question of, hey, can you give a guy a penny? All right, we asked for some bitcoins, but that's it. And, you know, this is not going to be a major deal. And if you can get one stock, you can have 5 years worth of the deal paid for.
Yeah, right? Easy.
And how many stocks have we given that have been like major winners?
Killers.
Right?
Lots. Yeah.
Yep. Anyway, all right. We will have that in a couple weeks. And until then, I wish you a very happy Pesach, a good Chag Sameach, and a good Yontif. That means, you know, happy holidays, et cetera. And
same to you.
Yeah, thank you. And Easter, what are you doing for Easter? Anything exciting?
I'm going to be up in Port Angeles, and we're probably going to go visit Canada and buy stuff.
Oh, good. Cheap.
No, it's not that cheap.
Not that cheap. Mm.
But it's a nice place.
Well, I will see you next week, and we'll go for, or the next week after that. We'll see.
Okay. Adios.
All right, buddy. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket stands a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.